Okay, so I'll tell you the Siyata Deshmaya. We've had many times in this Chabur, many, many times. I used to speak about it almost every week back in the Momo days. Every week it was some Siyata Deshmaya with the song. Chaim, you definitely remember. Every week. So last week we heard a song, a beautiful song that actually was the second time we heard it. In Avon was from Davi Schiff, however you say his name exactly. And I spoke to him the first time, it was like 2 years ago, about the song when he put it out. And so then last week after the Chabur, I like to send, you know, if I know the artist, if I can get to him, I like to send him to show him that we're, you know, using his music in such a way. It's probably not so common that people are saying a shir based on your, you know, your song. And it usually gives them chizik. You know, people are, of course, they're listening and they're using the words. And he gets it and he's appreciative. And he says to me, he hasn't put out a song in like over a year. He's like, oh, I'm putting out a new song tomorrow. tomorrow. I said, wow, okay, great. Puts it out. I listened to it once. Okay, fine. It's a good song. But I wasn't really thinking about it. I just wanted to hear it for a second. And then later in the week, when I had to start thinking about, you know, Thursday night, I listened to it again. And I'm like, one second. This is the song for this week. So there you have it, another hashgacha. So we're going to use a new song. He literally just this week. It's called Sons and Daughters. S-U-N-S and Daughters. So the question is, should I tell you what the song is based on first, or you want to hear the song first?
It's Daughters and Sons, by the
way. Oh, it's Daughters and Sons. I'm sorry. Daughters and Sons.
Give us an intro.
You want the intro of what the song's about? So, okay, you'll hear, I don't know if we had the words. Okay, I'm sorry, we'll send it out if you have it. So he was listening to a shir, he said, from Rav Kalish, from Waterbury. And he was going on the psukim, where you have the sugi of Habab Machteris. Habab Machteris is the sugi of a ganav, who's digging into somebody's house. He's breaking into someone's house. And based on the psukim say that the Balabayis, basically, without saying it in so many words, but because I'll bring out, if the Balabayis kills the Ganav, he's potter for killing. Why? So the Gemara explains, because if a Ganav is going to dig into your house, the Ganav is coming in with the assumption that the Balabayis, the owner of the house, is going to defend his house to the death. Right? He's not going to just stand there and let the Ganav come in. He's going to put up a fight. So with the Ganav coming in has the motivation already that he's ready to kill and to fight and kill the Balabayas. This is already the inner motivations. And therefore, if a Ganav is digging in your house, therefore you could assume he's coming with the intent to even kill you if he needs to. So therefore, as self-defense already, the Balabayas can kill the Ganav. Even if the Ganav doesn't necessarily show a weapon. But because these inner motivations are flowing, therefore, he's already, there's no damam on his head, there's no blood on his head, if the Balabayis, the owner of the house, again, kills the Ganav. Yeah? So then the Pasuk says, Im Zarcha Hashemesh, nu?
Alav.
Im Zarcha Hashemesh, alav. If the sun is already shining, then what? Then dambim lo, then blood is upon him. So what does that mean? So Rashi says it means, is that if the sun is shining, if it's clear as the sun, meaning if this person is coming in a peaceful way, that you know he's not going to kill you. For example, Gemara brings who? The father. For some, it's an interesting case, but if a father is digging and breaking into his son's house to steal, crazy case, the son knows his father's not going to kill him, and therefore the son can't kill the Gan of father. So if it's like the sun, in Zarach HaShem, which is an interesting pasuk, if the sun is shining, if this person is coming in with sunlight, meaning in a peaceful way, even though he's trying to steal from you, but not trying to kill you, then if the Balabais kills the Ganav, then Damim Lo, then he's Chayiv Misa. This is, and then Rabbi Kalish is going on, I didn't hear the shir, but this is what he's saying, that Rabbi Kalish is talking about the sunlight of parents on children. You have to bring the sunlight home. Right, you have to bring the sunlight. That's why we based it on. I didn't hear the whole shir. I don't know the whole context. But this, I don't have the words on me right now. But in the middle of the song, he quotes these psukim. Im Zarcha Hashemesh, if you listen. He speaks Im Zarcha Hashemesh. If it was like Barulo. But the song is about loving bringing love to your family and to others. So listen carefully. We don't have the words, but it's in English, so most of it.
You have the words.
You sent it around? Okay, you have sent it around. So those who have it, it's sent around. Someone else is with Spotify.
Is it okay?
I'll take it.
Someone. We don't wait a million years for a daughter or a son. Who's waiting on, waiting on, waiting on your sunlight. The lock goes on and nothing's wrong inside, it's painted black. Cause the love so deep is as good as cheap if it only shows its back. And it could try a million ways to stay awake, cause the darkness reigns, waiting on, waiting on, waiting on your sunlight. Bring on, bring on your love to earth. Bring on, bring on your love to earth.
Must be a real big song. Yeah, he doesn't just stop in the middle. Well, he's not tired.
Should I play the end of it again?
No, we'll play it at the end. It'll come in again at the end. Okay. So we got most of the song.
I emailed the words to all of you, so you'll see the words.
All right, we'll speak about it, and then by the end, hopefully we'll get it at the end. Okay.
I'm listening, but I'm
so we're towards the end of Shemos now. Mamash towards the end. The Yaakov Pekudei. Usually it's 1 week. The Yaakov Pekudei, but now it's an Uber Yar, so we have 2 weeks, a little more time. And Shemos is it's very distinct how it's broken up. It's very clear. The first half of Shemos Ve'era, right? Bo, B'Shalach, all Yitzis Mitzrayim, Yisro comes, Mount Torah is right in the middle, and then the rest of it is the Mishkan. Of course, the Egel last week, but it's all the Mishkan. And the last five parashiyos of Truma Tetzaveh, Kisisa, V'Yaakov Pekudei, so it's fascinating that Truma Tetzaveh is all Mishkan. Build a Mishkan, big day kahuna. Then you have Kisisa, like a hard stop in the middle. A little Mishkan, some of them, the Kalim, a little bit. Egel Hazov, bam. And then V'Yaakov Pekudei. And then we continue on again, basically repeating Truma Tetzaveh. First of all, we know V'Yaakov Pekudei, it's already why you're repeating it, right? What's the necessity? You already said everything in Truma Tetzaveh, basically. Also, why do you have Kisisa right in the middle? Right? Like, what's going on over here? So some learn straight. Some learn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded after Mount Torah, and this is what we learned a few weeks ago, that after Mount Torah and Parshas Mishpatim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu were building their relationship, right? We had the Torah, the guidebook, the Mishpatim. We learned this was in the doctor's house. How you have to work hard. You have to work hard at your relationship, right? It's not always so, lovey-dovey, luxurious with vacation. Sometimes you have to get down and dirty and take out the garbage and day in and day out and build a relationship, right? You have to give. Ahava is to give. We discussed that in Parshas Mishpatim. That was based on the Torah. And then we said that also, one, although he can't expect or he doesn't give to receive, he gives to give. But Lamaisa, we discussed, every zachar, every male, and every female, but every male also has a tzad within himself, if you remember. He has a tzad nukva. Every zachar, which means male, which really means mashpia, to give. Chachma, Chesed, Netzach, Yisod, that whole world, we explain that every emashpia also has a tzad mekabel, nukva inside. Because every person is built of 10 spheres, we learned. And every man is also built with a bina, a gvura, a hod, and a malchus, which are the feminine, doesn't mean female, but it means mekabel, right? It needs to receive. Your bina needs to receive from Chachma. Your Gevurah needs to receive from Chesed, and your Malchus needs to receive from Yesod. We also need to receive. So Klal Yisrael, as much as we're doing mitzvahs, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity, Ki'ilu, to be Mashpia, but Etzim, we said, we're the Makablim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're the female of the relationship. We receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the bias, because it's in the bias. And the Mishkan, as we discussed, is where even the mashpiyim can feel that the receiving of ahava, right? That's the place. That's what we discussed, really. That was Parshas Truma. We can't go through the whole shmuz then. And we can't go through it now. But we're going to go with a different mahalach now. Because we're going to go with the mahalach, really, of Rashi. Now, Rashi holds that the parshiyos are out of order. That really, it was Kisisa, and then Truma Tetzaveh V'Yaakov Pekudei. Really, it was the Egel Hazav first. Right after Matan Torah, it was, right, 40 days later, we had Egel Hazav. And then there was the commandment as a response, and a tikkun to the Egel, there was a response called the Mishkan. And so it's really Truma Tetzaveh V'Yaakov Pekudei. So according to Rashi, we have to understand two things. Besides the first question of why is there a repetition of V'Yaakov Pekudei, everybody has to answer that question. Why is Kisisa in between Truma Tetzaveh V'Yaakov Pekudei? if the egel really happened first, the order of the parsha should be kisisa truma tetzava yakal pekude. Right? And also, what is the response? What is the Mishkan? How is the Mishkan a response directly to the egel? How does that happen? What does that mean? So, I'll tell you something that I told the teens last week. This is the Dvar Torah I told the teens. And I decided this year, every week, I tell over a mashal. A mashal. And keep them excited. You know, I ask a question, basic question or two, and then we have a mashal, and then we come out with the answer. So I'll read to you the mashal, yeah? So Avram and Sarah had been through years of longing and prayers before finally welcoming their precious son Yitzhak into the world. Not really Avram and Yitzhak, but I mean Avram, a different Avram and Sarah. As they gazed at their little miracle, they knew that nothing else mattered as much as ensuring his happiness and well-being. When Sarah decided to take a break from her career to take care of Yitzhak, it was a decision made out of love and devotion. But as time passed, the pull of her professional life grew stronger. Despite their reluctance, Avram and Sarah made the difficult choice to entrust their son to the care of a loving babysitter while they pursued their careers. Sounds pretty normal. But every morning, Avram ensured that breakfast was waiting for his son Yitzhak, a small gesture of paternal love before he left for work. Sarah, too, made sure that dinner was prepared in advance, her way of showing her son that she was always thinking of him, even during her long work days. Despite their efforts to make the transition easier for Yitzhak, it was evident that he missed his parents terribly. 2-year-old boy, 3-year-old boy. He struggled with separation anxiety and yearned for their presence. In a moment of inspiration, Avram created a special toy for Yitzhak. A pop-up toy that featured pictures of both Avram and Sarah, right? When he pushed the buttons, it would pop up and it would be a picture of his father and his mother. And recordings of their voices when he pushed other buttons, saying how much they loved him. It became Yitzhak's constant companion, offering him comfort and reassurance in his parents' absence. Months passed, and while Yitzhak seemed content, Avram and Sarah couldn't shake the feeling that they were missing out on precious moments with their son. They felt bad. They wanted to have more time with him. They spoke often of spending more time with him, but the demands of their jobs always seemed to take precedence. Then, one fateful day, the babysitter had to leave for a doctor's appointment, and Yitzhak was left at a daycare center for a few hours. The parents had spoken to the daycare center before. They arranged it. Initially, everything seemed fine. But soon, Yitzhak's behavior took a drastic turn. He became agitated and unruly, lashing out at other children, even injuring one of the daycare counselors. Panicked, the daycare called Avram and Sarah, insisting they come to collect their crazy son immediately. What did you send us? I thought you said he was a nice boy. He's acting crazy. Come right now. But with their jobs in the city, it would take them over an hour to reach Yitzhak. So desperate for a solution, Avram and Sarah called the babysitter, who was at an appointment, and begged her, demanded, you have to go. I'm sorry you have to leave your appointment. You have to pick up the kid. He's acting crazy. As she arrived, carrying Yitzhak's beloved toy, a remarkable transformation occurred. The sight of his cherished toy instantly calmed Yitzhak, his distress melting away in the presence of his beloved babysitter and the comforting familiarity of his toy. That evening, when the parents came home, they were very upset, scolded Yitzhak for his behavior, fighting, biting, punching. Couldn't believe this is their son. But the babysitter said, "One second, let me tell you what happened." And as the babysitter recounted the events of the day, and she explained Yitzhak's behavior, she forgot to give the toy. She didn't think about it, to leave the toy with the boy at the daycare center. And the reason of his anxiety and panic was because he didn't have his beloved pictures of his parents on the recordings. The parents felt a great love for their son, and Avram and Sarah realized the depth of their son's need for them. They knew then that it was time to prioritize their lives and make more time for Yitzhak. For nothing was more important than being there for their son when he needed them most. This is the mashma. So after being in Mitzrayim for 210 years, many, many years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided it's time to have children. B'nei Bechori Yisrael. He had a chosen nation, children. Then he decided with love to make the Makos through the Kriyas Yamsuf, through the fight with Amalek. Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence was totally revealed. A loving mother was with her child, right? For all those years. In the story, was Sara was with her child for 2 years, 3 years before she let him go, before she went back to work. Kadosh Baruch Hu's mamash, his presence was revealed. Every day, breakfast and lunch would be served. The man would fall. Every day, he was there, waiting. But at a certain point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Tata, said, it's time, the children have to move on a little bit. And therefore, he chose a great babysitter, Moshe Rabbeinu. And he gave them the greatest matana, the Torah, right? To keep with them, that they have to move on, they have to mature, they have to take the Torah, follow the mitzvahs, of course, grow closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't mamish leave, but there was a certain separation. And then one fateful day, the babysitter had to go to an appointment. Moshe Rabbeinu was away for a few hours, and the children panicked. The children went crazy. Their babysitter was gone. The Torah, they had no connection to the Torah because they needed Moshe for that. They had no connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That's what some of the Mefarshim say. That was why the eagle was created, because they needed some connection. They went crazy. Right? They killed Chur. And they went out of their Kalim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very upset. He wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. But Moshe Rabbeinu, the babysitter, intervened and he explained why the people went crazy. Because when he was gone, they had no connection, no real loving connection to their Father in Heaven. Right? What did we speak about last week? Last week, Moshe Rabbeinu opened up one of the biggest secrets of creation. If you remember, we discussed from Rabbi Nachman that tzaddik is always looking for what's the ratzon Hashem. What's the real ratzon, the motivation, the will of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this situation or in this object? And Moshe Rabbeinu uncovered something by the eagle. Remember, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "I'm going to destroy them." And Moshe responds, "Lama yichara pecha? Why are you so angry at your nation?" This is what we discussed last week, and we asked, "What do you mean, Moshe?" Moshe is asking Hashem, "Why are you angry at your nation? They're doing an eagle azov. They're being mazana by the chuppah." They're going crazy. They're killing people. What do you mean, why are you angry? How can Moshe Rabbeinu ask such a question? So we discussed last week that Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, Borei Olam, I understand your motivations. When you created the world, you knew that they'd be sinners, yet you decided to create them. When you let them out of Mitzrayim, why, says Chazal, they had no schar, because they were going to receive the Torah in Har Sinai, you knew that there was going to be an Egel Azov right afterwards. If you knew that they were going to accept the Torah, which of course the Kadosh Baruch Hu knows everything, he decides everything. If you knew there would be a Matan Torah, then of course you knew there would be an Egel Azov. And yet you still decided to let them out of Mitzrayim. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, I know the depth is that you'll never destroy your nation. You can't. Of course he can do whatever he wants, but Kadosh Baruch Hu built the world in such a way, he took them out of Mitzrayim in such a way that he would never destroy his nation. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, what are you so angry about? Meaning, why would you destroy them? I know you're not going to do that. Punish them? They need a punishment. It's fine. But destroy them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We both know that's not going to happen. So Moshe Rabbeinu uncovered there the secret of creation. That Klal Yisrael can always do tshuva. That's the ratzon, that the Chazal tell us. Chazal tells us that the only reason why we had the eagle was so we could see, we could learn about tshuva, national tshuva. That you could do such an egregious sin, and yet, still, you could do tshuva and bring yourself back. Because Klal Yisrael can never be destroyed. So tshuva is always an option. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu revealed. Amazing discovery. So when the babysitter sat down and told the parents, they're not rebelling against you. The child's not a bad kid. He's doing this because he loves you so much and he can't be without you. That opened up the ahava in the parents. They already had the ahava, but it made them realize that they have to spend time with their child. They were speaking about it. Right? In the mashal, we knew that they were going back and forth. We really want to spend more time with them, but they had their professional careers. It was difficult. So the you know, things got pushed to the side. But after this incident, it opened up within them that ahava, she'ena tluya bedavar, that unlimited ahava that a parent has for a child, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael. And it made them reprioritize their lives in order to spend more time with their child. And that's the Mishkan. The Mishkan is the place where Kadosh Baruch Hu spends time with us. Carbon tumen every day. A person needs a carbon todah, carbon shlomim, carbon pesach, carbon chatas, shalosh regalim, we have aliyah l'regel. That's the place where Klal Yisrael can always go to feel connected. So even if Moshe Rabbeinu is not there, even if the leader is not there, there's that building there that you can go to. There's a place of connection, a place of yichud. That's the tikkun, how the Mishkan is a response to the ego. Because the ego was what happens when you don't have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you're relying only on a Moshe Rabbeinu. So Hashem says, I need to be with them. I need to have a dira betachtonim. I need to bring my sunlight to earth. That's what he sings in the song. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the sun, we're the moon. Klal Yisrael is the moon. Klal Yisrael needs the sun of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood that. Of course he understood that. That when we sin by the ego, it's because we were looking for Ahavas Hashem. That's what we were looking for. We didn't know how to, when you have a child who loves their parents sometimes, they act out. But really, they want more quality time with their parent. And what do? They act out. They act in a crazy way. And the parent says, I'm not hanging out with you. When in fact, that's davka what you have to do. Because that's what the child's really saying. I love you. I need you to be with me. It's hard. You have to read the messages in a deep way. Sometimes you need somebody from the outside, a babysitter, to explain that, or a rebbe or a mashpia, to explain that's what the child's really doing. He's not trying to hurt you. He's not a bad kid. He needs more time. He needs your sunlight. That's what he needs. And if you only show him, I don't have the words. If you only show him the back, he has a line over there. If you only show him the back, that's not going to be. You have that line over there. It's like in the second paragraph. If you only show him the love from the back, that's not going to be enough. It has to be from the face. You have it there? Sorry. You should have the words with me. It's in like the second paragraph.
Because the love so deep is as good as cheap if it only shows its back.
It only shows its back. I mean, what does it mean? It means there is a love. The love of the Achurayim is that there's a love. But the parents are at work. So loving the kid from afar, from the back. You need the face. You need face to face. So the Mishkan becomes that response. That the Shekhinah Sharui, the divine presence, is amongst us. Amongst Klal Yisrael. And this could explain, this Mashal is explaining what's, according to Rashi, if the Mishkan is only a response to the ego. So why do you have Truma Tetzaveh before the ego, the commandment of the Mishkan before? Because that was like in the Moshe where the parents were thinking about. They knew that they had to connect with their child. They knew that they had to spend more time with him. But they never got around to it. Truma Tetzaveh is kilu de machshava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kilu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was thinking about, maybe we'll make a Mishkan. But he didn't decide to make it yet. Because maybe the people will be okay with Moshe Rabbeinu and the Torah. But when they sin with the ego, Vayaku Pekudei. Now we lamais have to build it. Because Truma Tetzaveh, they weren't building. Right, Truma Tetzaveh, the commandments to build. But they never actually built it yet. So again, according to Rashi, the commandments were really even afterwards. But the machshava of a Kadosh Baruch Hu was beforehand. If Klal Yisrael can handle not having a Mishkan, we won't build a Mishkan. But if something happens, which it did, so then we have to build. Then we're going to have a command, Lamaisa, and build a Mishkan. So this is the inyan, this week's parsha also, that we have, that Shabbos is always around the Mishkan, right? We have many, many times throughout the parshas, everywhere it says Mishkan, it says Shabbos. Because Shabbos and the Mishkan are both very similar in inyanim. Where the Mishkan is a place, a physical place, for Klal Yisrael to connect to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shabbos is the Zman, where there's no working. Right? There's no going to work. There's no going to the city. The parents don't go to the city. They're with the children. Shabbos is that time where Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't let us go to work because he says, now you can stay with me. It's a little bit opposite, but it's the same concept. Right? So what we have in the Mishkan, in Olam, we have in Shana, which means Zman, in time, we have in Shabbos. Right? Olam is place, Shana is time, and then there's one, what's the last one?
Nefesh.
Nefesh. You have to, everything in this world has to have a place, a time, and a nefesh. So, Kodesh Baruch Hu has a Shechina Sharu, he has a Shechina that comes down, that we can actually connect to him in the Mishkan. The Mishkan is not around, so sometimes we have Tefillah. We can connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu in a much deeper way, in a much calmer way, on Shabbos Kodesh. And the Ikar of it all is Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, in my nefesh, in my soul, in my heart. A person can connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu whenever. It doesn't have to be to a Tefillah. It doesn't have to be on Shabbos. It doesn't have to be in a certain place of holiness. It's whenever you want. Right? Whenever a person wants. He could just think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He could do his Bayidus. He could do his Bayidus. You could always have a Kodesh Baruch Hu in your heart. Bilvavi Mishkan Evna. That's the relationship that a person, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, allows us to build. We have to build it. He's always waiting. He's always ready. But we have to build it. And if you really feel a lack and you really feel a desire for a connection to the Borei Kol Olam and you want to feel his love, the options are there. And therefore we have to understand that just as Klal Yisrael needed a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Ahava and he needed their sunlight, they needed his sunlight, I'm sorry, to come down, Dir B'Tachtonim, to bring your sunlight to earth. So too, we need sun, we need light from other people, but we have people who need our sunlight. We have spouses, we have children, we have friends, we have colleagues, they need our sunlight. And we have to be there, mashpia. We have to bring that sunlight home. We have to, as hard as it is. It's funny, I'm thinking about this, and this week I had a daughter, I was sick the whole week. And she was home and whatever. My wife goes to work to Flapa. She can't be home. And I'm around, I'm local. So I came every day. I sat with my daughter. I saw she needed it. She really needed it. I was just thinking about this as I'm preparing this. I'm like, that was this week for me. It takes effort. I have my schedule, I have my this, I have my that, but Maisa, that's one of the reasons. I have to remember, the Kodesh Baruch Hu has reasons for everything. Why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu get somebody sick? There's a reason for that. It could be a kapara, whatever. But anything that affects a person. My daughter wasn't feeling well. So there was between her and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's something to do over there. But it affects me also. That's the Kodesh Baruch Hu sending me a message. That he wants me to be a mashpia. He wants me to send sunlight. Yeah, it takes away my time. I only had literally 20 minutes tonight because I had to take her to the urgent care or whatever. No, she's okay, don't worry. But I'm thinking about this as I'm there. I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. This is the ikker. So we have to do. We all need to receive sunlight from others, but we have to be the sunlight to other people. Mzarcha la shemesh, right? If a Kodesh doesn't do it for us, we have to do it for others. But we should be zocha that we should feel the sunlight from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, from those who we need to receive from, but then to also be the sunlight to those who need.
Someone we'd all wait a million years for a daughter or a son who's waiting on, waiting on, waiting on your sunlight. The lock goes on like nothing's wrong inside, it's painted black. Cause our love's so deep, is as good as cheap if it only shows its back. And they could try a million ways to stay awake, cause the darkness reigns, waiting on, waiting on, waiting on your sunlight. Bring on, bring on your love to earth. Bring on, bring on your love. השמש עולה אם זוכו השמש, השמש עולה אם בורו לך השמש, שהוא שלום עמה כמו השמש ששלום בעולה. We are someone who makes us feel alive. We are someone who makes us feel enough. Someone waiting on, someone waiting on, someone waiting on, waiting on your sunlight. Bring on, bring on your love to earth. Bring on, bring on your love to your earth. Sons, sister, that isn't the only one. Wait on me. Mothers and fathers, brothers and sons, sister, that isn't the only one. Oh. Mothers and fathers, brothers and sons, sister, that isn't the only one. Wait on me. Someone waiting on, someone waiting on, someone waiting on. Waiting on your sunlight. Bring on, bring on your love to earth. Bring on, bring on your love to your earth.
Stoppings. Mm-hmm. So much better without the stoppings of the little. It's like a strong song. Okay, it's good.
You wrote that, Marshall?
Yeah.
It's your creative process.